Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I love church, and you'll never not hear me say that. I just love everything about it. I know that there are times as a child that there were times that you're like, I don't want to go to church. But, you know, hopefully as you mature and you get more excited about the things of God, you get excited about being around God's people. And that's what I like about coming to church is the fellowship. I like the agreement that we can get in. There's just a lot that I like about being around God's people, the church. You know, if you're not mindful of where you are going, you will one day look at where you are and you'll wonder what happened. Oh, there's four of you that are in agreement. Some of y'all are nodding. I'm just kind of waiting to see. Let me say that again. If you're not mindful of where you're going, one day you'll just look up and you'll go, oh, what happened? Where am I at? How did I get here? I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I'm 60 years. How in the world did I end up right here? I can tell you how people wind up where they're at and wonder how they got there. I can tell you exactly how. They weren't mindful of where they're going. You don't ever get in a car without knowing where you're going, or maybe you do. But if you do, you're knowledgeable, hopefully enough. If you're on the road, I sure hope you are. You're knowledgeable enough to not, when you get somewhere, you know why you got there. Well, how did I get to Rogersville? Because you weren't paying any attention about where you're driving, you're just driving. You never end up somewhere. How did I get here? You didn't follow directions. You didn't turn your GPS on. You didn't listen to what someone else. How did I get? You can always go back and know how. But I'm telling you, in life, a lot of people don't always look back and go, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I got to 50. I mean, I don't know how I got here. Here's what I want to tell you. You may not know how you got where you're at right now. But you better find out where you're at right now. And then you better find out where you're going. I know that it would be helpful in life, just like when you go to a theme park and you see one of the maps at a theme park. Has anybody ever, where am I at? I remember when we went to Disney World years ago with the girls at an early age, and we spent a lot of money, and they don't remember hardly any of it. It was there too young. Anyway, we went there, and so we were out there in this big park, and we'd go find a map on the park. And I always liked it because there was a little arrow that would say, you are here. Wouldn't that be helpful in life? Just pull out a map and say, right here's where you're at. Because sometimes we just don't know. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to know where I'm at. Because you got to know where you're at before you figure out where you're going. And when it says you are here, the next thing I start doing is I look right where it says you are here at. And I start looking at the map and seeing what I can see that's right around me. This is going to be a really good message if you guys will hear some of what I'm saying today. I'm just telling you, it will. You may not know right where you're at, but you can look around real quick and you can start seeing friends that you surround yourself with. You can start seeing what you're doing when you get up in the morning. You can start seeing what you put in your mouth. You can start knowing, I can tell you right where I'm at. In a real quick hurry, you can find out where you are by looking at what's around you. This year, we have a vision, and the question that we're asking ourselves is, where are we? As a church, where are we? Well, you can look around and you say, well, I got so-and-so here, I got so-and-so here, so I'm glad they're here. I can kind of tell you where we are based on I see so-and-so over here, and I'm in church. That's good. The next question to ask is, what's tomorrow night for you? What's Tuesday morning for you? Let's jump forward. What's Wednesday night for you? What's going to be Friday night for you? And what, as you start thinking about where you're going this week, why are you here? Is this making any impact on Monday through Saturday? Where are you? Where are you? Why are you here right now? I mean, if you're going to answer the question, where are you? The only reason that you're going to figure that out is so that you can know where you're going. And we can get caught up on going, well, I don't even want to look at where I'm at because it's horrible. And well, if you don't look at where you're at, you're just going to keep getting further and further away, and then you're going to look back 10 years and go, where am I again? Where am I? Where am I? Right now, you need to know where you are. You need to know the life, the hand that you've been dealt. You need to know, I don't know how else to say it. You need to know where the little arrow's pointing to your life at. And you can find that out by looking around. Look at your job. Where are you in your job? Is this job that you're in right now in 10 years going to take you somewhere? Well, I never asked that question. Then you don't know where you're at. And you sure don't know where you're going. But I need to know where I'm going so that I look at where I'm at, and then I'll figure out a way to get where I need to go. It's just a rip. That makes perfect sense. Well, as a church, and we're a part of the body of Christ, so we, the church, need to know where we're at. Where we're at. Where's this church at? And I started writing a lot of things about the church and where it's at. And here's the thing that I can tell you. We've done some pretty good things. If we just want to talk about things. Where are we at spiritually? Where are we at with the things of God? Can we look at where we're at right now, and can we in our mind just go back a year, 2 years, and 3 years and say, oh, I'm glad that I knew where I was 3 years ago and started getting on a roadmap to arrive where I... That's great. But what we've got to do is have a roadmap for where we're going from this point. So I can sit here and talk about all the great things of our church. Praise God. Praise God for this. Praise God for what's happening. I tell you, I couldn't be more thrilled when I drive up and see all them bright colored vests out there greeting people. That just thrills me. I like it. We've got young to older out there. And the thing that I like about it is all of those people are significant in what they're doing. They're appreciative of people coming down this road. They're grateful. I like that we've got a lot of people that signed up to go to a ministries retreat so that we can learn how to be better ministers in life. I mean, how we can, in church ministry, what can we be doing more of? We had 35 people that went down there. I think our biggest crowd we've ever had. Why is that significant? It's significant because we've got a lot of people wanting to know how I can be effective doing what God called me to do in church ministry. I love that. And I know that some of you couldn't make it because of schedule and so forth. Well, plan on next year. You got a year. It's the second week of January. Just kind of look at that in your schedule and see if you can't put it down there. So that way you got some plans for making preparations so you can be there next year. I'd love to blow them away and us have 200 plus people from Christian Ministry Southwest Missouri just sitting there. Why are you all here? Because we're all involved with church ministry. You can't get enough people, in my opinion, to go down. Well, I don't need to go. Everybody needs to go. It's impactful. I just kind of want to talk about some things today as we have today. What is the church doing? Where are we at? And I don't want to sit here and just talk about where we are in relation to all that we're doing good. We're doing some great things. But I want to talk about it in relationship to where we're going. Because I think you know where you're at. I think you know, if you've been here any length of time at all, you know what we're doing here. We've got a wonderful Christian school. Christian education is the heart. It's the heartbeat of your pastor. I think it's important. I think it's very important that we get kids educated in a Christian mindset. We've got to disciple our young people, or that 18, they don't want anything to do with what's going on here. And we got to be careful that we don't force them into that discipleship, because then they don't want it either. See, there's a couple of ways to think that through, and we've got to do what we can to be discipling our young people. And I'm into Christian education. I'm into, right after high school, getting some kids that have been raised in whatever family they're in, getting them in a Leaders Academy program. And it doesn't have to be this one. There's a lot of great ones across the country. But getting them foundationally secure, that's why we're doing that here, because I think there are some young people that really need to, before they go to get college education, they need to make sure they're foundational without mom and dad forcing them to be foundational. It's a choice that they're making. And so there's just some things that are the heartbeat of what's going on here. I can tell you I'm all about conferences, ministries, and going to things that will give you a big dose of how to operate in the kingdom of God quickly. I think it's important. I also think it's important for a day in, day out maturing and self-discipline for you to grow in and of yourself in the Word of God. It might be so dependent upon someone else to take you somewhere, but you can get some other people in your life that can get in. There's some important things. I think it's important that you know where you're at financially. So there's a lot of things that this church is doing really well. We're not a penny in debt. I think that's important. You can just drive across this campus and know that it's all paid for. And if it wasn't, then everything here wouldn't be here. Because our electric bill and propane bill is crazy. To keep all of that's on this campus heated and cooled, we and everybody that's here working and doing, it would be very difficult to be paying a loan or a note. But since we don't have that, we're able to expand, do things that was my heart. I'm not here putting down another. That's how I believe. That's what we do here. That's where our church is. So now, where are we going? Well, we got to ask some questions to know where we're going. Here's the question: where do we want to be? And that's a question that you should ask in your life. Where do you want to be? Where do you want this church body to be 1 year from now? If you were to write it down and say, I just want to be wherever Pastor wants. Well, I can appreciate that you submitted to the vision, but everybody ought to have some wants and some desires for the kingdom of God. Look around. Are you wanting the people that are sitting next to you to still be here? I mean, really, look around. My wife looks over at my daughter and says, yep, I want her to be here. That was sweet. But in a year from now, who do you want to be here? Here's what I'm hoping. That when you looked around, you thought, I want everybody that's here next year. But I hope you looked in some seats and saw some that were empty and thought, boy, I'd hope some other people might come and sit in those. Why is that important? Because we're called to fill seats. Really? Yeah. We're called, but we're not called just to fill seats. You know, as you looked around, did you look around and just say, I just don't want people to be here. I want to see God bless them. A year down. Where do you want the church to be in a year? The whole reason I'm hosting a financial seminar here in a couple weeks is because I want you to be at a different place financially a year from now than you are right now. And I sure want you to be at a different place 10 years from now than where you're at right now. You're going to have a lot of money go through your hands over the next few years. Some of you are going, I agree with that. I'm not talking about the amount particularly as in, well, I'm believing that. I'm going to be making $100 at least an hour. And I know that's what's going to happen. Or I'm going to be making, I know you're going to be making eight something an hour because I know the minimum wages. I'm just saying you're going to be making some money. And of that money that comes through your hands, my question is, what are you going to do with it? Because it'll produce something or it'll produce nothing. Well, I just don't really know. Well, you might want to sign up for a financial class. See, where do you want to go? There's a lot of things that are set up in our life that will actually allow you to be somewhere where you're not. There's a roadmap. There's a here, you're right here sign. There's a way to figure out where you're at. And there's a way to get a vision for where you want to go. Here's what I did. I and Pastor Tim talked a lot about the vision for this year. And so today I want to talk again about making disciples. And this is part two of what I started last week. Because I want us to know where we're going to be in a year down the road. And I want this to be a little, oh, wow. Because it is to me. This is a large responsibility. Are we really in a year down the road going to say that church now is making disciples? That church is making them like I've never seen. Well, we got to ask a question. What is the church not doing that will allow us to figure out what we need to do to be where we want to go next year? So we got to know where we're going to be so that we can figure out the road that it's going to take to get there. You've been praying about finances. You've been praying about finances. You've been praying about finances, and you don't sign up for a financial class. That's just ignorant. You don't have to sign up for the one we're doing here, but you're a part of this church body. You might want to get in agreement with some people and see yourself financially. See, Michelle and I did that several years ago, and we're at a place financially I've never been before. And every year, it's a new place. Well, that's just great for you. It has been. I appreciate that. Well, that's pretty egotistical. You shouldn't love money. I'm not talking about loving money. What I'm talking about is being able to be effective for the kingdom of God. And a lot of people got that principle because they heard the teaching of this church over the last 14 years. And that's why everything here, because that's the way the kingdom of God operates. God teaches you the principles and he gives you the promises. And next thing you know, everything's paid off. And we're the lender. We're not the debtor. Just some principles out of the word. Really? Yeah, that's in there. We'll talk more about that if you sign up. I'm not trying to guilt anybody in it. Maybe you don't need it, and I know that's the case. But here's what I find. People that sign up for a financial series are always the people who already have money. For the most part, that's the way it is. And the reason that's the case is because people that have already started seeing success want to see more, and they want to continue to grow more in knowledge. And I got to know more and more about this. The people that sign up for parenting classes, learning a little bit about your child, the people who sign up for that are the people who have already experienced the benefit. They've experienced the benefit, and they're the ones who, for the most part, everybody's already trying to model after their parenting skills. I mean, I just see that, and so I want to encourage you, get in that group. That group will take you somewhere, and it's important. If we're going to make disciples this year, we got to know what our verse is. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That might be something that you want to memorize this year, because as a church, that's a mandate for us. As a church, that's been taught for years as a salvation message, but it says to go and make disciples. It doesn't say and go make converts. Make disciples. And somehow the church has done a great job of converting, but a horrible job of discipling. We talked about that last week in depth. Making disciples is that mandate right there is really twofold. See, you need to make a disciple first and foremost of yourself, and then you make disciples of others. Make disciples first of yourself and then of others. A disciple is one who accepts, lives, and assists in spreading the doctrines of another, in our case, Jesus. He assists, he does everything he can to spread, and he lives the doctrines of Jesus. So today, I want to start talking about, all right, if we're going to figure out where we're going, we got to know what it means. A disciple of Christ is someone who knows Jesus. You got to realize you're working with someone who has already given their life to Jesus if you're going to disciple them. If you're going to disciple yourself and you're going to make a disciple of yourself, you've got to know Jesus. You might go, well, Pastor, everybody here, if someone is not a Christian, they don't have a chance of being discipled. In LA, I teach this all the time in Leaders Academy. You cannot stand up for Christ without standing for the Bible. I'm just saying a couple of things here and there, and I'm pausing so that it sinks in. Because I think that's important that we get what just... If you're trying to share salvation with someone, you got to first agree that the Bible is God's word. And it's been put on paper by man who heard from God, and therefore it's his words, and they are instructions on how we are to live. If you can't agree on that, then your foundation is flawed. And all agreement has to have a foundation. And so the word of God, church, is our foundation. It gets us in agreement. Salvation in Jesus has got to be established, and you've got to know that you can see this example a lot. And I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to pause again. I'm just letting you know. I'm not waiting for an amen. I want you to think about this. Becoming a Christian does not make you a disciple. Now, I would think that as you kind of think that through, I go, whoa, isn't that the first step? No, but it's necessary before you can start your discipleship. Here's the problem. We got the church that's kind of messed that up, and they think that all disciples are made just by being a Christian. And it's not. And so we have to know that right now where the church is and the thing that it's not doing is it's not discipling people. It's converting. And you can convert someone and you can get them saved and you cannot disciple them. And the problem with that is then when they go to the voting booth, they vote like they're not a disciple. And we're surprised that so many people in our country call themselves a Christian and then they vote the way they do. Don't be surprised by that. Recognize that that's the problem with the church. It's not the heathen's fault. It's that the church did a great job of converting, but they didn't get what Matthew said here and said, we got to make disciples. We got to make disciples. Most everyone here this morning, my prayer is you're saved. And if you're not, I'll be here after service and you need to get saved so that you can work on being a disciple. You got to get saved before. See, after salvation, there is a learning and application process of your salvation that's got to take place, and that's called discipleship. And it takes time, and it requires patience from the church. And know this, this church has got to be patient with Christians who are being discipled. We got to. Many are expecting people to be able to implement God knowledge immediately after salvation. And there are some miracles and things that happen upon salvation, and God immediately transforms some areas of their life. But there are also some areas that take some time to see change in. It just takes some time for that change to take place. Many people are critical of churches because they see some of their members and they see how they're acting and what they're doing, and they're very critical. And we got to be careful. Come on, church, we got to be careful about being critical. Just because someone's saved doesn't mean that they're mature in Christ. Now, a disclaimer here. I'm not saying that we're so comfortable with someone who's not doing the right thing, even though they're saved and they're not disciples. We're not so accepting of that that we put those people in leadership. We've had some people highly offended because I'm not willing to put them in leadership position when they're not here on Sundays and Wednesdays. Really? Yeah, I just have a... Now, there are some that I understand are in job predicaments and they're praying and they're doing everything they can for Wednesday nights to become important to them. And they're trying hard to do that. And the reason they're trying hard is because they listen to every podcast and they come up and tell you and they're on the road and their job requires them. So don't sit there and get offended by that statement. Hear what I'm saying. I need to make sure that when we're going to put someone, encouraging someone in the things of God, that their life already shows an example of the things that I want them encouraging them in. It's important. It's important. So I preach a lot from the ditch and then I got people mad at me. So please hear what I'm saying today. One stinging criticism of churches that are reaching people is that some of their attenders sometimes don't bear much resemblance to Jesus. And I know that we can probably, for those of us that have been in church a long time, we can look at another church and we can be critical. I want you to be careful about that. Because I would sure hope that people aren't looking at new converts here that haven't got into discipleship yet. And they're just what we call seat warmers. But they're not serving in the church. And they're not serving in the kingdom. And then we're being critical of them. Let me just talk about some things these new immature Christians can be. They can be swayed by powerful personalities. They can. These new immature Christians can still be sexually active outside of marriage. These new Christians can sometimes still have questionable business practices. These new Christians can end up in broken families and divorced. These new Christians, or these people who are not discipled yet, is probably the way I should say it, can still be very swayed by culture. These ones that haven't been discipled yet but claim Christianity cannot be faithful to God's house. These new people who are not discipled yet can sometimes not know how to conduct themselves in worship or even be in worship. These new converts, or these people who have been converted a long time but not been discipled, you got to hear, they can doubt core doctrines of the church like resurrection. I've even heard some that have been in church a long time but haven't been discipled say, I don't believe in hell. I'm talking about allowing some key doctrinal issues that are very clear in the Word, they're off on it. They're off. They're just off. And we start hearing that, and then we're thinking that what they're doing is they're living this outside of here. They're talking about it. Maybe even they're voting for things that God says are, and you know it because you've seen their Facebook post. And what happens is we start being critical. If these issues remind you of some churches, maybe some mega churches, maybe some fast growth churches, just realize that every one of these problems I just outlined are the problems that the church in 1 Corinthians had. Really? Yep. The church in Corinth struggled with every problem that I just talked about, and it's the same problem that growing churches deal with every day. Every day. But let me just tell you something else about the church at Corinth. They were an authentic church that Christ said he loved. I expected some silence at different times, and that's okay. The fact that we may have some people with these problems may actually be a sign that we're making some progress. Now, when the whole church is that, there's a problem. So I understand that you don't want to leave those people there. And when they've been there for 10 years and in the same church, yes, sometimes there could be. But you've got to give them some areas and give them a little grace in areas that they haven't changed yet. And let's pray and believe and let's teach and let's make disciples that don't believe those things anymore. Wouldn't it be great if maturity happened overnight? It just really would be great. Instant maturity, instant faith in life, but just it never works that way. You can't expect a 3-year-old to have the maturity of a 13-year-old. You just can't. As much as you might want it, and some parents are expecting and wanting it, and you just sometimes you got to just implement time. You got to expect a 23-year-old to behave with the maturity of a 43-year-old that's sold out to God and that has years on them. When you place expectations on people that they're just not able to bear, you crush them and you confuse them. And what I want to do is I want to be careful that we don't head that way. Because church does that a lot. And when that starts happening, you stunt the possibility of growth because you don't make a mature Christian overnight. You get a convert pretty quick, but if you're going to make disciples, you got to be willing to put some time in. Once again, my disclaimer, I'm not talking about in leadership. To where they're leading a group of people into thinking hell's not real. That's not what we're doing here. A 23-year-old in Christ, at times I have found, is more mature than a 43-year-old in Christ. So I've seen that too. And what we've got to do is we've got to get to a place where we know real quick where we are. I want to leave you with a word out of Luke chapter 9. And I will get into this more later. But we've got to read Luke 9, verse 23 this morning. I read it last week, and I wanted to dive in deeper to this. And I have pages of notes, and there's no way we'll get to all of them in one sermon. We just have to take some time. And some of you go, boy, I'm glad. Because I went to the restroom at break. I mean, I call it break because I know a lot of people look at that as break. During our time of tithes and offerings, and there's still people praying, we're taking time, and I know the bathrooms get full, and that's just one of the effects of having a coffee shop in your church, and I understand that. And so I run out to the restroom, and I'm out to the restroom, and while I'm out there, I saw Michael Swearingen, and Michael and I were talking, and he said, you hadn't have been back here, we'd have probably had a pretty quick sermon today, wouldn't we? And I said, yeah. I said, now that I'm here, I got a couple hours good in me. So I was kidding, and he laughed, and he kind of laughed like this. Anyway, Luke 9, verse 23. If any of you wants to be my follower, in the NIV it says, if any of you want to be my disciple, you must give up your own way and take up your cross daily and follow me. I'm going to talk more and more about this because this same story happens in Matthew 16 and Mark 8. The disciples all heard this. And the question today that we've got to know is what it means to take up our cross. You got to give up your way and you got to pick up your cross. Many have said that this means to pick up what's bothering you. Come on, you've probably heard a sermon on that. Pick up what's bothering you and just carry it. Just pick it up and take it with you. Just pick it up and take it with you. And maybe that was a strained relationship. Maybe it was you're physically exhausted. Maybe it's your job and it's just a no end. I don't have a future here. Maybe it's pick up your physical illness and just carry it. Maybe it's your season of life. Well, I'm just got to pick up my cross and carry it, and it's just the cross I have to carry. Come on, you have heard this in sermon after sermon. Well, today's culture, Christians view the cross as a cherished symbol of atonement, of forgiveness, of grace, of love, of separation from sin. And I get all that. But in the day of Jesus, you have to know what was being said here. Jesus was talking about the cross here and picking up your cross, and the cross represented nothing but a torturous death. That's what a cross represented. The Romans forced convicted criminals to carry their own crosses to the place of crucifixion. Bearing a cross on, that meant carrying your own execution device while facing ridicule along the way to death. So let me give you a new definition of cross if we're going to start making a disciple of ourselves this year. That's carrying whatever it is that needs to die in your life. This has got to die. This has got to quit. This can't happen no more, and it's carrying it to a place that you're going to execute it. That's what carrying your cross means.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.